Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of Luke, where we read that Jesus purposely journeys to Jerusalem and all that awaits him there. On the way, he stops in Jericho, his encounter with this man named Zacchaeus. You see, in God's realm, we want God to get the credit for the goodness and love. And we learn here that we are meant to live out that purpose. Zacchaeus understood that when he spoke with Jesus. So hear now from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, beginning in verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because of his short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him because he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be with the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I'll give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay him back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, who is our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. We owe Luke a great deal, a debt, if you will. For in this gospel alone is told a dramatic story that captures us for what the mission of Jesus is really all about, and in turn, what the mission of the church is about. The event happened while Jesus was passing through Jericho, the city of palms. Luke writes, "And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was very rich." In that one sentence, we are told the story of a human life. So here's the background. Nothing in first century Judea was quite so hated and despised as the Roman tax. It not only reminded the Jews that they were dominated people, it also represented a theological insult. To the Jew, there was only one king, and that was God, not Caesar. Paying tribute to an earthly non-Jewish monarch was something that the Hebrews had opposed throughout their long history. But there's more. The dirty work of collecting the tax was not done by the Romans, but by, get this, collaborating Jews. To make matters worse, some of the money that they collected off the backs of their fellow countrymen stuck to their own fingers as well. Now you know why they were so hated. We are told that Zacchaeus is the chief tax collector. That's the only time in the New Testament that this term is used. It meant that he was over an entire district. In other words, he was their chief sticky fingers. Zacchaeus, may have been short in stature, but he had wealth, and wealth means power, so in a matter of speaking, people looked up to him. Zacchaeus was the little man with a big reputation. He was not just well-to-do. According to Luke, he was rich. Of course, one might take issue with that. Luke's description of rich. For in many ways, Zacchaeus was as poor as any man in Jericho. He became rich monetarily by dishonest means, with sticky fingers in the pot, but remained impoverished in spirit. And he knew it. He knew it. Oprah Winfrey, who owns a 4.5, maybe even more, I don't know, million-dollar business, once said, "I struggle every day within myself to be happy." You see, money can buy you comfort, but it won't buy you happiness. It won't lead you to find that innate joy within that gets lost in a world filled with chaos. It won't give you a warm hug or a warm smile. It won't keep you healthy. The day that Jesus showed up, Zacchaeus heard that this healer and teacher was coming, and he wanted so much to see him, so he perched himself up in a sycamore tree to get a bird's eye view, perhaps also to be out of the crowds who he knew hated him. And that day Jesus saw him and asked him to come down out of the tree. He asked if he could go hang out at Zacchaeus' house. Can you imagine? Here is this man who has robbed his own people of money, hated by everyone, and Jesus, this great teacher, wants to go hang out and eat at his house. I think out of pure gratitude that Jesus accepted him at that moment, all of who he was, including his sins of being a sticky fingers person, Zacchaeus came down out of the tree, the tree of his despair, and he said yes. You see, God doesn't care about our past. God cares about who we are when we encounter the living Christ in our lives. God cares because God knows that when you have a true encounter with Jesus Christ, you are transformed. And you might ask, well, is that true today? We don't see Jesus walking in the street. Yes, you do. The living Christ is in each and every one of us who has received Christ within. Christ works through you. God cares because God knows that when you become that living encounter for another, that you are helping others. Success in God's eyes is the ability to turn our hearts to God long enough to let go of sinful events or behaviors that have hurt people, things of the past, things that have hurt you, and ultimately to give God the glory for success, the joy, and the wholeness that comes. In our society, our goal is to be successful, to make a name for ourselves. We admire conspicuous achievers, the rags-to-riches kind of person. We tell our children that they can be anything they want in life. They can grow up and be CEO of a company. They can be president of the United States. They can be an artist. All that's fine and dandy. Christianity is not against success, nor is God interested in seeing us fail to reach our potential. The rub comes when our personal success, our personal fulfillment, our gaining the admiration of society so that we are in some sort of in or accepted club, if you would, you know, metaphorically, becomes more important than the service for God. You see, glorifying oneself out edges out the glorifying of God. And so therefore, we must be thankful for this little story in Luke's gospel. Zacchaeus moved beyond the desire to be admired or to gain for himself at that moment. He moved beyond waiting to be liked by his fellow Jew or even the Romans and into the realization of what faith really is as he stood with Jesus. That's why Jesus hung out with him, wanted to give him some time. But let's examine two things that we can learn about faith today. The first thing is that faith itself flows from a reservoir of shared vulnerability and support, giving and receiving. Jesus saw Zacchaeus' need for some face time, if you know what I mean. Zacchaeus saw the need to be accepted. He had that need. So he came down lickety-split at the invitation and welcomed Jesus gladly into his life of despair and loneliness and into the sin that he had committed. And when you know that you need to share your life with someone who just might lead you to release something in you that's maybe sad or despaired and bring you into a better place, you just do it. A couple of years ago, I sat in Panera by myself. I was lost in my own thoughts, actually very sad and worried about a problem in my family. When an elderly gentleman showed up in Panera, there was nobody there now. I was pretty much alone in the sitting room. And he came to my table and he asked me, "Can I sit with you?" I was surprised that he did that. Surprised that he didn't sit somewhere else. There was plenty of seats. He muttered something like, I don't like to eat alone. Nobody talks much to each other these days. I said, okay, you may sit down. But what I felt initially was some kind of intrusion in my life turned out to be one of the greatest blessings, one of the greatest that I've ever had. He said, he got right to the point, "You look sad. Your eyes are sad." He nailed it, for I was sad that day. And at that moment, he called me out of my tree of sadness, back on the ground of compassion. And suddenly, because of that compassion coming from him, I shared my heart to a perfect stranger. And then he shared the story of his caring for his wife, who had Alzheimer's. And then he did something interesting. He said, "Can I pray with you?" Right there in the middle of the restaurant. In other words, he invited me back from my tree of despair into the arms of the love of God as a fellow sojourner. Sometimes we need a perfect stranger filled with that kind of compassion to snap us back out of our despair on the journey. And that is what shared faith is all about. It's support at its very best in our vulnerabilities. He was right. We don't speak face to face with one another anymore. We're too busy maybe texting or staying by ourselves or not being bothered or making comments on social media where we think we have friends. Where we think we have solutions to our problems. Now, social media, you know, it's a great thing. I use it. But nothing replaces the face-to-face, human-to-human contact. A question I asked in this week's lessons, are we too busy with our own agendas and our own lives to offer the space needed for someone to come out of their tree of despair? Or the tree of grief, or the tree of loneliness from rejection of others? We can feel literally alone, even when we're surrounded by a lot of people. In our story, while everyone else was criticizing Jesus for hanging out with a tax collector who was in that kind of despair, not knowing how to bridge this thing in life, who was hated because he cheated all those people out of money, Jesus was offering a way for him to be supported in his vulnerability and to transform his life. For he said, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay them back four times the amount." Now Zacchaeus wanted to confess his sorrows, his regrets, his fear. And it was a moment of shared faith with Jesus, but Jesus didn't want his regrets, his confession, or his money. Jesus wanted his heart. Jesus offered time so that Zacchaeus could be changed. That's what salvation is. That's what salvation is. Not a one-time event in our lives. It's ongoing. It's an ongoing transforming us moment by moment to all that our Creator has designed us to be. And it looks like this. It looks like meeting a perfect stranger in a restaurant. I didn't even know what this man's faith was, or even if he went to church or he was a believer. We didn't talk about that. There was no church or denomination affiliation that was attached to his compassion. Only faith. I sensed faith and love. And the second thing is that faith, like generosity, is always plural, never singular, and so are the incentives to give. Here's how Jesus shared the good news in verse 9. He said, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Zacchaeus was a new man with a new true identity in that encounter with Jesus. And that affected all his relationships. He found forgiveness, he found acceptance, and he found a new life. Like his family and servants might have believed because of the good news and change that they saw in Zacchaeus from that day forward. You see, faith is never singular, it's always plural. It is God and me and you together. When we go out of these doors and into our places, our homes, or places of work, it is the God's Spirit, the Christ Spirit in you and me. Whoever we encounter comes our way. After the encounter, that elderly gentleman, I was so encouraged, and I felt held in that compassion. The result of that is that I began to think new thoughts about the problem I was having, or that the family was having. I sensed a relief from my heavy heart and new possibilities over the days that followed. And I was able to find my joy again, a joy that is within that can never be taken away. And I shared that joy with my family, and things began to change. Slowly, but they changed. The result of one man's compassion in Panera led to the transformation of me and spread to others. It had nothing to do with religion. You see, happiness, joy is contagious in a moment of shared faith in listening and in prayer. This is the spirituality that comes from God. Friends, we need more of that in the world today. More of that. We need each other in these days that we live in. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This has never changed. It continues to be required of you and me. We don't grow faith in a closet. We grow it together. If you are up in a tree, be open to someone inviting you to come down from that tree. If you see others stuck in a tree of confusion or sadness or fear, invite them to come down because you represent Christ for them in those moments. You are called in the name of Jesus to go out and bring others into God's love. For we are one body. We are not Catholic or Protestant or evangelical or progressive. We are one body. All who have claimed to have Christ within them are one body with many gifts. And we should honor that with one another. So today, as the practice of the saints before us, and in the name of Jesus, I invite us all to come down from our trees of fear, of sadness, ego, division, and onto the level ground of the love of Christ Jesus, where we work out our salvation. We need each other to seek the lost, to feed the poor, and give voice to the innocent, to offer freedom and salvation to the least of these. Who and where are they? You know where they are. They're in Panera. They're in Dunkin' Donuts. They're in the local grocery store. Find them in the daycares and in the schools and in the doctor's offices, in your neighborhoods and in your places of work. This brother who boldly met me in my own tree of darkness taught me to do that. Be a listener. Be an encourager. Forgive one another as well as forgiving myself. You are the body of Christ, made in the image and likeness of God, and this is what is required. Sit with them, pray with them, lay hands upon them, and offer the gift of compassion. Receive a blessing, give a blessing, be a blessing today. Amen.